And just put on a show talking about stuff. What do you want to talk about now, besties?
Okay. Do you want to get to the music first, or can I share something with you?
It depends on what it is you're going to share.
Okay.
I'll know within seconds.
Oh, God, it just disappeared. No. Oh, all right.
The thought bubble disappeared. What disappeared?
The thing. So there's this post going around right now that whatever movie was number the box.
Oh, this old thing.
Did you see it when you're 10 like years old? It's going to be what the rest of your year is going to represent.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the stripper name or, you know, that kind of a thing.
Well, all right, fine. God, yeah. I love how you just...
I'm just saying, you know,
and
it is kind of...
The enthusiasm from you is really overwhelming. Classic, thank you for supporting me.
It's a classic BuzzFeed thing.
Well, it was on Twitter, your handle. Yeah. And I feel like it was... Someone sent it to you directly.
Yeah.
And so it's like whatever movie when you were 10 years old was number one at the box office is how the rest of your 2021 is going to be. You don't care.
All right, so mine is E.T.
Yours is E.T.
What does that mean? The rest of my year is going to
extraterrestrial.
It's going to be home. Out of this world.
Yeah. There you go. All right. And that was what I wanted you to analyze because yours was you two had mine is The Exorcist.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
It's meaningless.
Yours is a tie, Lori.
Yeah.
Between Herbie the Love Bug, or Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Yeah. I mean, this is a completely meaningless exercise in existential bumper sticker thinking. Okay. It makes no sense.
Baklava.
It means nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Well,
it means absolutely
so does a lot
nothing.
Of other things we talk about. I was just curious. If you guys had seen that yet.
No, because it's a meaningless thing. I wouldn't even have clicked on it.
But see, you would click on something if it said, don't click here, naked picture. You click on it immediately.
Julia, yes.
Our brains work differently. Yeah. It is best friend day. Hey, shout out to the three of us, Rocco, the love triangle.
You're right.
As it were.
You know who was giving us great couch last Ooh. Night, but he's very bad about posting things.
Jimmy Kimmel
had
who's
80, you know, from Shrill.
Oh,
Bryant.
SNL. She was on a Zoom call that bugged me, but was it funny? Because I started watching it.
So funny. She is just such a, she gave excellent,
she
excellent
did?
Couch.
See, yeah. I was turned it on and I was watching it, but then I thought it's Zooming. I'm Zoom fatigued.
Yeah, no. She gave great couch and she said, oh yeah, you know, I grew up just, I'm in town, but my brother has the spare bedroom, so I'm staying at a hotel. And I'm just filled with great memories of growing up in Phoenix, you know, like just down the street where I got my first, car accident when I was 16, my first fender bender with my friends. Who she said, the story was she carted around 14-year-olds to their lacrosse games. So she was Dad's sister. And the one kid put his lacrosse net over her head while she was driving.
Oh, yeah.
She rear-ended a purple PT Cruiser. She just was giving us great.
Yeah, that's funny.
Great couch. And then Jimmy had Katie on, you know, from The Bachelorette.
Right.
And then John Mayer. It was the first time that Kimmel, that they had like a, you know, the concert that Kimmel kind of has outside.
Yeah, on the steps kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. So it was the first time they had in John Mayer, and it's, you know, his sob rock.
Right.
Which is
listened to one of the songs
last
week.
Name of his album. He played this song. I don't know if we're going to play the live version, Last Train Home.
I just have the regular version.
Okay.
If you want to roll me, then you got to roll me all night long.
If you want to roll me, like roll my body.
And if you want to use me, then you got to use me too.
But they were really on fire last night.
Okay.
Like they had, like, I feel like these bands have pent up energy.
Oh, I would believe you.
Time.
Of course.
So
yes.
He kept his, you know, orgasm faces to a minimum.
You know, I know.
He was singing.
We were talking about this, and I explained how the first time you and Casey saw him at Excel, and then you stayed at the Coventry Inn in your night of love.
Oh, yes.
Remember, you were in an orgasmic haze after that concert.
Yes, that was so
you
fun.
Loved it.
It was
you
so
loved
it. Was great. It was
that
a
was
great
before
show.
We knew the douchiness and everything else about him. But do you like this?
I liked it better when I saw the live version last night. That seems kind of like, ugh.
That's how I feel.
It doesn't have as much muscle as his live version did.
Yeah.
Anyway, but he looked real cute, and I do get a kick out of the name Sob Rock.
Yeah, it is kind of cute.
It's kind of funny.
It's kind of cute.
So we talked about the Foo Fighters. Oh, we've got a chance, Julia, to own crap again, which we're never going to do, but let's talk about
it. What can we buy?
Well, okay, so 5 Eddie Van Halen guitars are going up for auction. Julian's has this huge, you know, they have them all the time,
but they have
like 2 of Marilyn Monroe's cookbooks with notes and some little personal things, the only 2 cookbooks that she apparently owned. So the 5 Eddie Van Halen guitars are supposed to, they think, about $50,000 a piece. The drum kit from the 1980 Van Halen Invasion World Tour. And all the money is to go to Mr. Holland's Opus. Which was Eddie Van Halen's, he really liked that, wanted to keep instruments.
Wasn't that keeping instruments in schools?
Yeah, Prince had the same thing. And then a number of Prince items are up for grab. Rocco, listen to this. Let's see if we're going to pool our money. I doubt it. But there's a 1994 Blue Cloud guitar with an estimated value between $60,000 and $80,000. There's a 14-karat white gold necklace with 63 round diamonds.
Wow.
Between $8,000 and $10,000, and multiple outfits that he wore on stage. So somehow the Prince Estate doesn't have this stuff.
Right.
And it's, you know, individual people that must have owned it. And then, they've got some Madonna stuff. They have Beatles, Bob Dylan, Whitney Houston, Cher, Lady Gaga. So it's June 11 to the 13th. It's fine and rare music collectibles.
Wow, there's some good stuff on there.
Yes.
Some little Richard stage outfits.
Yeah, they must save it all up for like a period of time. This one might not be where Marilyn
is. They do, because I'm looking. I just went to julians.com.
Yeah.
And upcoming actions, like they have a sports legend theme one. They'll have a Elvira, Mistress of the Evening one's coming up.
Because Marilyn's cookbooks, listen to this. So she owned 2 cookbooks, the new Fanny Farmer Boston Cooking School cookbook. Okay. And then the new Joy of Cooking.
Oh, yeah.
And they were both published in the 50s, and they are the only 2 cookbooks confirmed to have been owned by Marilyn. And those are expected to sell like for about $75,000 each cookbook.
Wow.
And the books have. Like, she wrote down in her handwriting a menu for beef bourguignon and marrow bone soup, a grocery shopping list, and a deli business card in which she wrote a Doheny Drive address on the back.
Lovely.
Lovely. And then a newspaper clipping of a recipe for cheese lasagna that she tucked in, as one does.
Oh, gosh.
Clip it out of the paper.
Still love pulling out a cookbook.
And she doodled on it.
Okay.
Would
you want this?
Well, no, but if you were a Marilyn, I don't think Marilyn ever goes down in value. She also had a diet plan in her handwriting for all 3 meals of the day.
Okay.
For what to eat. And let me tell you, it wasn't much.
What was it?
Toast and cereal.
Okay.
Then a carb-heavy lunch. And then she could have beef, chicken, lamb, sweetbread, fish, or chicken liver for dinner.
Sweetbreads.
Brain.
Yeah.
No calories.
No calories
and
in the brain.
And she also had 2 scheduled milk and cracker snacks. And she capped off everything at the end of the night with a glass of eggnog at 11 p.m.
Did it have brandy?
I don't know, but it seems counterintuitive.
That does. Let's go to bed with serious carbs.
Yeah. And cream.
About toast and cereal? That's not that, you know, good for you, is it?
Well, back in the day, they had 3 cereals and they didn't have all the sugar in them.
Probably.
You know, there's like grape nuts.
Right.
You know, the cereals didn't have the sugar and all the extra stuff added. Mm-hmm. It was probably oatmeal. you know, yeah. Seal out oatmeals.
Anyway, so that's, you know, if that's, you're a cookbook fan, Stephanie Hansen, Stephanie March, if you guys are listening, have some extra dough laying around.
Maybe that's what you're going to want.
Here's a future investment for you. Also, there's a, Mark Ronson, you know, because he's, of course, DJ and good.
He's an interesting dude.
He is an interesting dude. Yeah. He is engaged to Meryl Streep's daughter, Grace Gummer.
I know. I kind of like that.
She's 35. He's 45. He split from his girlfriend, and she just got divorced last April from Jason Statham's son. I think she's moving too quickly, and if I'm Meryl, I'm worried.
Well, here's the other thing about this, Lori, is that Grammy, what's her name? Gracie Gummer.
Grace Gummer, yeah.
Grace Gummer. That's Meryl Streep's husband's last name, Gummer.
Yes.
And so she was only married to Statham's kid for 14 months.
Uh-huh.
So
it's all moving quickly. This mm-hmm. sounds like me or one of my sisters. Like what we would do.
You guys, Lori, with my brother, it was 3 months. What was it with your first husband? It was a long time.
We were divorced in 9 months, and I was already remarried.
Yeah, I know.
I mean.
Yeah, really were.
Ridiculous.
No wonder why we tried to sit you down and have conversations with you.
Anyway, yeah, she's wearing a dazzling diamond. She's with him, and
they apparently had a Hallmark first kiss, whatever that means. One for the records.
Well, we'll get their meet cute story or we won't. But,
yeah.
You know,
it's
anyway,
in the story.
I'm just saying, Jules, that he got divorced in 2017. Then he had a girlfriend. And he just split from that girlfriend like last March. She just breaks up. I'm just saying this is all moving very quickly.
They're going to live happily ever after. They're going to live happily ever after.
No, do you know what the high divorce rate is for second divorces?
Oh, that's the one. Huge. It's like you just want to just not even, just pretend you had it and get married. Just say this is my third.
We wish him the best.
It's over 50%, isn't it, for second marriages?
Higher.
Is it?
Higher. That's, first ones are 50. Keep going up,
I think,
for second.
The first ones are going down a little, aren't they? You think it's still that high?
What do we look like? Anthropologists right now?
Well, you said the thing. I don't know what we are. I think we're getting ready for a dirt.
We are. I keep trying to go and you keep talking. Baklava. We'll be right back.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
Okay, Holly.
Okay. Happy Tuesday.
Yeah.
Wanted to start with a topic that you guys were discussing briefly in the last hour, but you were running against the clock and didn't get to quite address it. That would be, when the heck is Yellowstone coming back for season 4? My goodness. Now, Julia, you did mention that usually history tells us that the series Yellowstone, starring Kevin Costner, usually airs around June 20th of each year, so that would be in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Well, we haven't got word when a fourth season is going to be happening. And if you go to Yellowstone's Instagram page, the comment section are just filled with these questions. Well, when the heck is season 4 going to be happening? Unfortunately, I cannot tell you when it is going to be happening. So it remains a mystery.
Yeah.
We don't know when we're going to
It was a huge cliffhanger.
Oh.
And just like any show that was supposed to be like come out like in the spring of this year, they got, you know, the hijacking from the COVID got everybody off on filming.
Right. You know, it's simply a matter of logistics. Now, some people pointing out that perhaps the Summer Olympics, which are still set to happen from July 23rd to August 8th, maybe people over at Paramount are thinking like, you know, we might want to wait until after that is over.
But I don't think they've even filmed. I don't think they've even started filming.
Yes, they did.
Okay, good.
Yeah, well, you know, to Julia's point, Instagram posts from the cast indicate that Yellowstone filmed season 4 back in November of 2020.
Okay, so they did get it done.
It's in the can somewhere out in Hollywood, USA, but we don't know when we're going to be able to see it. So
I'm telling you, that show is loved by many.
Lupin comes back on Friday on Netflix.
Does it?
Well, remember, there are only five episodes, but there's another five that are going to drop on Friday.
Oh, that's fantastic.
That was a great
show.
So if you want to stay inside and you have access to air conditioning, you know, get a fan and, you know, watch some hot TV while you cool off. Speaking of television, HBO Max has announced that Hacks has been renewed for a second season. The comedy starring Jean Smart as Las Vegas comedian Deborah Vance is currently wrapping up things on its first season. I think we're going to get the last two episodes this Thursday. And so we'll get a second season. Yay!
I like that show. I think we're all we've all watched that show and
agreed.
Liked it. Yeah.
Even Rocco just gave a thumbs up, so we're totally into it. So definitely recommend Hacks on HBO Max. You know, we've just kind of got a little chef surprise of celebrity gossip news. Let's talk about Lena Dunham and her new man.
Yes.
Boy, is he cute.
He is.
Luis Felber. He's a Peruvian English musician. Page Six reporting that this is her new guy. And that
he looks hot and hairy.
Yeah, hot and hairy, and his new music video is an avatar looking like him wearing lime green panties, according to Page Six. So you can see that online
right
now.
Oh, yeah, he's like stripping or something or grinding or something, but he's very cute.
Yes, and
she seems to be quite taken with him.
Yeah, she says that Luis is the greatest person I've ever met. They met in London, and she's currently living there. And professionally, Luis Felber goes by the name Atahualpa. So that is how you will know him in his
Atahualpa.
Atahualpa. Mm-hmm. So I'll spell that for you: Atahualpa. So that is how he records music, and so she's been kind of alluding to this in the past couple of months. She had a New York Times interview where she was talking about her new guy. She didn't share his name, but kind of gave some hints, and then also she recently, I think she was on Twitter and talking about how much she likes him. So go Lena Dunham. Get yourself a hot new guy. Also happening in the world of fashion, Keira Knightley, she is opening up about how she spent her quarantine. She told Harper's Bazaar UK that she only wore Chanel while she was trampolining in the backyard. As
what
one
a good
does.
What a good plug.
Thank you. Exactly.
Sterling.
Noted Chanel spokesperson Keira Knightley said that they have a trampoline in their back garden. She said, we decided that we were only allowed to wear dresses on it, head to toe Chanel, and that her husband, she said that he had an array of peacock colored Gucci suits when he was on the trampoline.
Well, that's how fancy, how utterly fancy and charming.
I absolutely love her.
Well, she looks fabulous on the cover. So she's on the cover of Harper's Bazaar UK. K's July 2021 edition. Of course, she's wearing Chanel head to toe naturally. So I always love to see her. I wish she would be doing more projects.
Oh, but, me too. Yeah. She's so good.
Yeah, she is so good. Page Six has done the dirty work for us, you guys.
What happened?
They have done a review of Alex Rodriguez's man makeup.
Oh, all right.
The blur stick.
The blur stick. A convenient concealer specifically designed for men that can be used for skin imperfections, according to Alex Rodriguez's Instagram account. So they got a couple of guys over at Page Six doing the review. And they basically are saying that they'd use it again in the future for special occasions, but for what it is, it's overpriced at $17 for your blur stick.
Yeah. You can just go get a CoverGirl.
Yeah, you can get any kind of a concealer stick. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they're doing the reverse. You're paying more because it is him.
Yeah.
Alex Rodriguez. It's just a terrible name.
I know. Well, you know what? He gave it the old college try, Alex
but
Rodriguez.
But they said it was a good consistency, but $17 is too much to pay for a concealer stick.
No, oh my gosh, I wouldn't even pay $17 for a concealer stick, and I wear makeup most days of the week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't think so. The MTV Music Awards is heading back to Brooklyn this year, so everyone is kind of ramping up things. Everyone's getting back on the horse here. It's going to be at the Barclays Center again on September 12th. So the Video Music Awards, are they even relevant anymore? Except for the fashion.
They're not.
Yeah.
I
don't know.
Yeah. And Mariah Carey, speaking of New York City, she has parted ways with Roc Nation. She's jumping ship despite dismissing any kind of drama that was happening between her, Jay-Z, and Roc Nation, who was managing her. So she's decided to move over to a new startup with somebody who used to be at Roc Nation. So I feel like there's a lot of drama or perhaps some gossip that we are not privy to. And Mariah Carey is just trying to dismiss it and maybe possibly deflect.
Okay.
So,
well, it seems very strange.
We're worried about a Stella effect again.
Yeah.
Right. And the Stella effect is that her old manager, Stella, was the one, Stella, I forget her last name, but she was the one who advised Mariah Carey to do her reality show, which right. perhaps wasn't.
It was a disaster, but I watched every second.
And loved it. You loved it?
Yeah. Well, you know what? Who she went to, Range Media Partners, they work with more actors.
Oh, all right.
So
maybe she's wanting their to biggest expand. They're
Bradley Cooper, Emilia Clarke, Johnny Depp, Michael Fassbender, Tom Hardy, Keira Knightley. So she's, you know, she's a singer slash source of theatrical entertainment. Yes, and she has done some acting.
Yes, she has done some
and
acting.
And maybe her smaller team will do better, because I guess at Roc Nation, you can have like 20 people that are working for you on different things. Mm-hmm. And Mariah's so like, I'm not doing that much music. I want to act, darling.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Remember, she was in, well, of course, she did Glitter 20 years ago.
Right.
Then she was in Precious, and she has done a few more dramatic things. And I don't think that Mariah Carey has any new music on the docket, except for that collaboration with Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis right. that she's doing. But that's more of a feature thing on their project.
And Mariah, 20 people, she doesn't need to know how the sausage is made. She needs to know what time she needs to be somewhere so the glam squad can get going and she can have her first glass of champagne.
Yeah, darling, who needs the sausage recipe? Oh,
right.
As long as it's shaped like Hello Kitty, we're fine.
Right.
Exactly. All right. That's the dirt this afternoon.
This is the study of duh with noted academic journal skimmer, Lori. Everybody
knows. Yeah. Everyone knows that duh. Everybody
knows. Here is a study of duh for you people. Nearly half of Americans think they're a better person than everyone they know.
Isn't that something? All right, let's just show a raise of hands. All right, Rocco's is up. Lori's is up. I'm not.
No.
I'm not.
You're so humble.
A new study finds nearly 1 in 2 people believe they're the best person they know. That is hysterical.
How many?
1 in 2.
Okay.
Yeah, really, really, really. It was... women were less likely to think of themselves as good, 67% versus 86% of men. And they, women are...
Now, does that surprise
you? No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. And women were more likely to believe that humanity is inherently bad, 20% versus only 4% of guys. And the millennials were the least likely to claim they're a good person. They were at 68%.
Really?
Yeah. But they also were the most likely to say they didn't think in terms of good or bad.
Okay.
And here's what people judge other people on.
Everything.
72% of people openly admit to judging other people's behavior. That's way too low. Come on now. We know that's more like 92%.
Yeah.
But 61% of people say they worry if other people are actively judging them. And
well, there's nothing you can do about it.
No, Americans say good people should be kind.
Well, duh.
They should get vaccinated. I'm adding that. Researchers asked respondents which qualities they wish to have. And more than anything, people wanted to be successful, even over happiness. Almost 40% of people wish for success over happiness.
Because I think people probably think if you're successful, you can...
You'll be happy.
You'll be happy.
Yeah. Anyway.
I would have picked... All right. If I had to pick the two, I would have picked probably successful because it includes happiness.
Yeah.
I don't know. I watched a lot of Fantasy Island episodes. Sometimes you get what you want and then you turn out to be not happy.
Rocco.
But defines, that is defining success that it equates to money. I'm not defining success as that.
People still make the mistake of thinking success precedes happiness, or that success and happiness come from the outside, but it doesn't.
It doesn't, but success to me is not a financial thing. Success is more of like a happiness. You like what you're doing. You love your career.
You understand yourself.
You like what you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
So who are those
that
shallow
seems
people
all like
defining
kind of
it?
A dud to me.
But, all right, yeah.
You know, okay, so here's another one. Bedtime stories really do make sick children feel better.
Oh, of course.
I know, but they did us. They what they specifically wanted to look at were our kids in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And so researchers in Brazil Say reading to hospitalized kids reduces pain and stress because it fuels hormones in the brain, specifically reading to children in intensive care boosts their quality of life. That it just does, in fact, make kids feel better.
I love it.
And this was published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences.
Is it Julia. Just because it takes them away to a fantasy place and you don't think about your own life kind of thing?
Yeah, it can be myths, it can be fables, it can be ghost stories, it can be heroic adventures, but a good story helps little ones feel secure and sleepy.
Mm-hmm.
And they relieve symptoms of illness.
Sometimes the reader even feels sleepy.
Yeah, something happens during storytelling called, they call it the transport of narrative. That is, the child through fantasy can experience sensations and thoughts that take them momentarily to another world, another place. They're out of the hospital room and they get the oxytocin, the love hormone is going. And so they sampled saliva and they really looked at a lot of hormones and all this other kind of stuff. But they highlighted that storytelling in children's hospital where kids are being treated is an important part of the piece. And I think of Casey when he was a reader in the intensive care at children's hospital.
What happened to that?
Well, it was through the St. Paul Fire Department. It was, you know, he went through it and he did everything and he fell asleep reading to the kids.
Oh, that's right. He has a little sleeping thing.
Rocco, he'd be reading and sleeping and then snoring. And finally, I told him, you're basically scaring the kids.
Right.
You know, because you can't read for more than 60 seconds. That's you're putting yourself to sleep. This is stressing the kids out because now there's this. And this was when Casey, like maybe a couple years after the motorcycle accident, and he was feeling good and sorry for himself that he wasn't a firefighter anymore. So he was trying to get out of himself. But he had like a beard. He was wearing a lot of flannel. Must have been fall or winter.
I love it, Lori. He looked like a mountain man at Grizzly Adams.
An unkept man.
Yeah, and Julia. So it would scare him. Okay, that's just absolutely in a room.
But
hysterical.
He was trying to make sick children feel better, but it does make kids feel better, and that is probably why parents, I guess, always have read to their kids just to settle them down sometimes.
It's to settle down, and it's just a great closure on a day, and it's something that you look forward to because it's this intimacy.
Yeah, all right. So we knew that, but good for us to know it again.
It's true.
Okay, once again, the study of duh. What is to you, if you have someone staying at your house, what is one of the things that is, or even just a visitor to your house, what is the number one biggest no-no that most people agree on?
A visitor to my home?
Like over 50% of people agree that this is an unacceptable thing to do. So that means half of us think it's okay and half of us don't.
It's unacceptable for the guest to do or for the host to do?
The guest. So for someone to do at your home.
Use your toothbrush.
Oh, gosh.
That's low on the list, but that's a house guest
faux pas. Walk in with muddy shoes all over your floors, be loud, break things, spill things.
Not removing your shoes is the least favorite faux pas that people make.
I don't mind it at all for adults, but if there's mud on them, I want them off.
Here's the thing about street shoes. If you've been at an airport or in a city, you don't know what you have on your damn shoes.
Yeah, I don't care. Okay? I don't make people remove them because I don't take them off.
But that is something like if you go to a New Yorker's house, apartment, and you don't take off your shoes, they will literally cast daggers at you because New York streets are filthy. So no one wants those city shoes being walked about. You switch your shoes. But the number one thing, showing up unannounced. Popping in.
Oh, popping in, as it were.
Popping in.
Just a staggering. Stop by.
So that means that we're at a real crossroads. If 51% of people say that's a no-no, then the other 49% are the ones dropping in.
But I think it all depends who it is.
I guess so.
Because if it's someone you really like that just was in the neighborhood and popped in, Well, now popping in doesn't really happen because people can text you, hey, are you home? I'm in the neighborhood. Can I stop by?
Right.
You know, this would be a thing when you didn't have a phone.
Well, no, this still happens. Still people, poppers? Even if someone, hey, you know, you can pretend that you're not home, but what if they come to the front door or around the back of your house?
You don't answer.
But you duck. What if you're there?
You duck. Haven't you ever just like ducked and, you know, crawled around? Yeah. And just I've done it
for solicitors.
Right, you hit the ground.
Yeah,
when you're out of candy, you hit the ground on Halloween.
Using your greasy hands against somebody's sofa or cushion to wipe your hands.
Oh, that's totally unacceptable.
Unacceptable. Yeah. And putting your feet up on somebody's furniture.
Oh, okay.
You know,
it always depends on who it is, I guess.
But with shoes on.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, come on. You know you're giving a dagger.
I can't stand taking off my shoes, though.
Yeah.
At people's houses if they're not. But I never put into think about, you know, you've been walking around.
Yeah.
I just don't.
Yeah, the shoes are dirty. The bottom of your feet are dirty. The city people.
I have to admit. Okay.
City people, really, like a New Yorker, you know, you're not coming in the house. You're taking off those shoes immediately.
All right.
Those shoes are for outside. Okay. What do you...
what do I think?
One more study.
All right. Give it to me.
Attention-grabbing apps are all about showing off faces rather than flashy designs. I mean, to me...
But what does that mean? What does that mean, attention-grabbing apps?
Apps. Well, think of the last app you downloaded, Julia.
I downloaded Zoom for a call that we had to do today.
Okay.
Okay. That was our faces.
And... And let's see, blah, 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 blah. You know what? I guess I really didn't read this study.
I'm guessing, yeah.
It was a story that was published at the International Conference on Human-Computer Interaction with Mobile Devices and Services, and that's really where the story lost me.
I disglazed all that over. Tomato, tomato. Mm-hmm.
But just know, attention-grabbing apps are all about showing off faces.
Okay.
Now we know.
Now we know.
All right. Listen, we'll be right back with the rest of the stories we forgot to tell you. I know. Nancy Sinatra, 81 today.
Cheers to I used to
say. I know. This is a weird song.
Bang, bang. All right. Bang, bang. Did you know Salma Hayek and I have something in common?
What's that?
You know Salma Hayek?
Yes.
What did you always used to say about Selma Hayek and her deets?
The teets of Mexico. Best teets of Mexico. I represent the teets of Mexico. And Penelope represented the teets of Spain.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a very impressive rack.
Very. She's very, you know, it was very compact, very full, very lovely. Well, here is what we have in common. She is saying... It takes so long. She's having trouble losing the weight that she put on to be in the Gucci, the House of Gucci movie. So she had to gain weight for that role. And she said, quote, it is so much easier to gain weight than lose it.
Well, I read that she said a lot of good stuff.
I know
in this,
she did. I'm just teasing. But this is just the headline coming out.
Yeah.
Of it. So I thought, I agree with you. Boy, so she is in the House of Gucci, and she said it was really fun kind of putting on weight. It came on very quickly, and she got to wear caftans.
Yeah.
And some of that sporty wear.
Well, they did ask her about Harvey Weinstein because she had detailed after, you know, the New York Times reporters, you know, broke that story about Harvey. And so she did an essay, but she wondered to InStyle why she didn't have the courage to speak up about him in the early 2000s after he persistently sexually harassed her. And she said, makes you wonder if you'd said something back then would have been different. How come I didn't have the courage? And that movie came out in 2002 and he produced it. And he went nuts, like all the stories about him, but... he did a lot of retaliation. He made her appear nude. And she's just like, why didn't I say anything?
Yeah.
You know, looking back, why did we all keep the secret? So, and I'm very intrigued at this movie that they're going to make. I'm feeling like Spotlight or All the President's Men about the movie about the two New York Times reporters, Megan Twohey and Jody Cantor, when they broke the... the bombshell Harvey Weinstein sex scandal report. And that was in 2017, I guess. And so anyway, Plan B is producing it, which is Brad Pitt.
Yes, it is.
And Carrie Mulligan and Zoe Kazan are good friends, and they've acted together, and they're going to play Tui and Cantor. And I mean, when that story ran in like October of 2017, it was shocking because it was details of hush money paid to cover up sexual indiscretion. First person accounts by actresses accusing him of, you know, attacking them, raping them, assaulting them. I mean, he ends up, that story, he got fired by the Weinstein Company, found guilty, and he's serving 23 years in prison. I mean, is the ultimate journalist taking down a story, that had been an open secret.
Mm-hmm.
So the thrust of the movie isn't Weinstein or his scandal. It is about the all-women team of journalists who persevered through threats of litigation and intimidation to break a game-changing story like what we saw in Spotlight or All the President's Men.
I think that sounds good.
So, and in 2018, Annapurna Pictures and Plan B optioned the rights to She Said, which was Cantor and Tui's book.
Got it.
So that's the source material. So I think that's going to be amazing. And I kind of like that they're hiring two actors who are friends in real life and have already worked together.
Yeah.
Kind of
very,
cool.
Very,
and
very.
Spotlight was such a good movie.
Whoa. Oh, that really was a good movie.
So, and it's, you know, it'll be all about the sensitive work of how do you expose predators and how do you convince people to come forward? Mm-hmm. Will they, you know, are they nervous? Yes, they are. Will they be protected? It's about journalism, women, and surviving abuse.
Oh,
Julia,
for crying out loud.
It's got Oscar written all over it. Well, and Brad Pitt, once again, producing. He does. Plan B produces a lot of good movies in
Hollywood. They do. Maybe he's a good guy, Larry.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, did Holly have this? I just got an alert from Vanity Fair that Armie Hammer checked into treatment for his drug, alcohol, and sex issues.
Finally, his publicist
made him.
Talked him into it because he doesn't have an agent anymore.
No, he doesn't.
So somebody has finally gotten through to him.
And
do you have to lose absolutely everything?
Right.
Do what Hollywood does. Go treatment.
Away. Exactly.
And tell people you're going to treatment. You
know? Exactly. Exactly. All right. Well, thank you for sharing that, Rocco.
Yeah, just breaking. I mean, it said he's been there since May 31st, but Vanity Fair is kind of the first to break the story. They had that big article on him this month.
Yeah,
right.
I have that Vanity Fair, but I haven't read it yet, and I keep meaning to.
Well, did you do the vintage scandal on him? Because then if you did, you'd know everything.
Yes. Yeah. But
there's always more.
There's always more in a story because we got the headlines from it.
Yeah, you get the condensed thing of it. And I do love a Vanity Fair deep dive. But, good. I mean, that's good because they've been telling him for probably 6 months to do this.
Stop and go away. Yes. And we can get
somehow.
Because everyone,
And we're going to figure this out and we're going to let people know that you're there. We don't have to let them know the day you go in, but we're going to let them know. Let us help you manage it. Because he literally does not even have an agent anymore. He's done. You got somewhere that you're trying to get out of here for, Julia? Mm-hmm. I know. I'm just wondering.
30 seconds.
Yeah, I know. Julia is completely not wanting to talk to me right now.
No, I wanted to tell you about this Joaquin thing. Joaquin Phoenix.
Well, shoot, now we don't have time. And you're
well, I've had this for 2 days.
Put your birth date in and you'll find out what Joaquin character you are.
Yeah, right.
No, I've had it for 2 days. And he's like, you know, because he's a dad. And he said that he's just been talking lately because he must have something coming out. But he says... about he just hated getting the Oscar because he hated having to give a speech. Oh. How uncomfortable he was. And he said, I just wasn't going to go thank my mom. But he also said, because he's a vegan, you know, a major vegan. And he says, I'm not going to impose my belief on my child. I don't think it's right. But he is going to let his son know where meat comes from. And he's not going to read the farm books to him, the animal books, and not tell him that's where the meat comes from. Can you see a little kid? And you can't eat the hamburger because it comes from the cow. And you can't eat this because it comes from the that. All right, everyone have a great night, and we will be back.